Greetings, saints. God bless you and thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you so much too, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for granting us wisdom from your word today. We pray that these words will rewrite some hard drives out there and cause people to be in agreement with you, with how can to walk together except they be agreed. And Lord, your words bring us into agreement. Your words deliver us from factionalism and division and strife and false doctrines. Your words are powerful to deliver and to provide. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, okay, saints, we've been talking about the tongue is sowing our future. And I think this will be part three. And what I've done is a little survey of the tongue and its words, mostly from Psalms on through the New Testament. And I hope that this will bless you, convict you, empower you. Just to go back and share just a couple of very important words we've already talked about. In Matthew 12 and 36 and 37, we're told, "And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." And the word idle there is also can be translated unfruitful, unfruitful word. So we have to be careful, because our words can bring us into judgment, as he says here very plainly. And a matter of fact, it happens constantly. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And by our words, we either bind or loose both the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. You remember, Jesus could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. He was bound because of their unbelief, because they spoke against him. And it goes on to say, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified." That means accounted righteous. It's not just the word you speak when you first come into the kingdom, folks. That's a big fat lie. It's your words. You're either going to be justified by your words, or by your words thou shalt be condemned. That's right. Judgment will come upon the wicked. Even those who are disciples of Christ are sowing constantly out of their mouth words that will justify them or condemn them. And we're proving to be believers, saints. You can't say you're a believer because you say you're a believer. You're a believer because of what comes out of your mouth. That's what judges you. Okay. And Numbers 14 and 28 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, surely as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you." And of course, there was a great falling away because of that. They fell in the wilderness because of their words that they spoke against God, contrary to his promises. But Joshua and Caleb spoke the truth, and they entered in. The rest of them died in the wilderness. Their children, who were innocent when they spoke those evil things, they went through the wilderness. So, in Romans 10 and 10, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Unto righteousness. What we say justifies us, accounts us righteous. We believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So, our mouth is what brings us salvation of God. And be careful what you say. You know, as Proverbs 18, 20 and 21 says, "A man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth." Yes. "And with the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied." Yes, as we increase in agreement with God, we begin to see more and more blessings, because this is how God sows his seed, as the parable of the sower shows us. And death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Do you want to walk in death under the curse? Do you want to walk in life with the abundant blessings of those who know that Jesus became accursed for them and gave them Abraham's blessings, right? I'm going to Psalm 19 and 13. It says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be clear from great transgression. And verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Hey, that's a good prayer. Don't count on your own ability, your own strength to do this. No man can tame the tongue, we've read. Okay, but God can do it. And when you go to God by faith for everything and anything, he is able to work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, right? Oh, glory be to God. So, keep us back from presumptuous sins. You know, that's when sin presumes over you, or you presume and speak things contrary to God's word. There are many people who think they're wise. The Bible says, be not many of you teachers, you shall receive the heavier condemnation. So, you see, we must be careful. There are so many proud people out there that are so sure about what they say and what they think. But if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's a curse, and it brings death. It's better to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Amen? Yes. Okay, Psalm 34. 11 through 14. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have to have the fear of the Lord. And we have to tremble when we read all these verses about the tongue. And some people scoff at this. They're scoffing at the Bible. They're scoffing at God. God is the Word, you know. Name it, claim it. Oh, they've got different names for it. But we can see what the Bible says. Verse 12, What man is he that desires life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Aha. So, what do you do to have this? He's telling you very plainly, it is your tongue. What is the condition? Verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. That guile is deception. There are people who love to speak deception. They can't speak the truth, and God holds them accountable for that. All liars shall have their place in the lake of fire, right? And they don't believe it. They don't believe the stern warning of Revelation to those who speak lies. Be careful, again, if you want to put yourself in the place of an elder of God, whether it be an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever, be careful you don't do that. Be careful that you let God do that if he decides to do it. Don't let men do it, and don't you do it for yourself. Many people who know technology somewhat and go out and make websites, they make themselves teachers, and the destruction is all over them. And better that they would receive the destruction in this life than to walk and talk in sin and have to do it in the next life. And so, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Yes. Lord, we desire that. We ask that you work that in us. We ask that you give us that grace, O Lord, in the name of Christ. Help us to desire peace and pursue it. In Psalm 35 and 28, "And my tongue shall talk of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." My tongue shall talk of thy righteousness. We are to praise the Lord, which means to brag about, to halal, to brag about what he's done. Not what he's manifestly done, but about what he's accomplished for us. Has he healed you? Has he delivered you? Has he taken away your sins at the cross? Then start bragging about it now. That's what faith is all about. And Jesus said, "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them." So you can, since you received them, you can talk of his righteousness and how he's imputed it to you, and how that the benefits of the kingdom are yours, and confess all the benefits of the kingdom. Forget not all his benefits. Right? Psalm 36 and 2. "For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity will not be found out and be hated." And 3. "The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He deviseth iniquity upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." Yes, there are many lawbreakers out there, both God's law and man's law, and they think that they can keep that hidden. They think that they can lie and continue to do these things, and the Lord is not going to let it happen. It won't happen. In Psalm 39:1, and I'll probably read through about 3. "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me." Many a time the wicked are there to persecute, come against you, to crucify you, etc. They have a job to do. Don't make it easy for them. Amen. "Keep your mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." You're not to throw pearls before swine. Because they'll turn and rend you, Jesus said. So he understood that. He wanted his disciples to understand that. And his disciples became very shrewd about what they said before the wicked. Verse 2 is, "I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred." Yes, amen. So, principles to keep in your heart. "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. And then I spake with my tongue." Amen. You ever seen that happen? You just don't. You know, you're being careful. You understand things, but you know this person doesn't. And you have to be weak to the weak many times, and so on. I'm going to look at Psalm 37, 29 through 32. "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous talketh of wisdom, and his tongue speaketh justice." Of course, they're sowing a seed that will bring the provision of God to them, right? And verse 31, "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." It's got to be in your heart before it can come out of your mouth, right? We have to, the Lord Holy Spirit promised to bring to remembrance everything that was said to us. But you have to sow it in there, as in the parable of the sower. And those that do, they put it in their heart. They love it. They respect it. It will come out of their mouth by the grace of God. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Isn't that amazing? When you put the word of God in your heart and it replaces the word of man, and you have respect unto it and you fear the Lord, your steps won't slide. Because the Holy Spirit can bring to your remembrance those words that are contrary to what you may be thinking or thinking about doing or whatever. Psalm 37 and 32. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. That's constant. That's constant. This is part of the crucifixion. The wicked are there because they hate you. They hate the word of God. They hate God. They may proclaim God. They may speak that they are a Christian, but their actions will prove otherwise. And they seek to persecute the righteous. Like we've talked many times about the Edomites, how that they constantly warred against Jacob, who was a type of the church. And, of course, that's true. It's been true throughout history that these people are there. And they're constantly there to crucify you and to bring to death your old man so that you can have his resurrection life. They've got a good job to do. But the Lord says he will not leave them in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Obviously by them, right? They're constantly judging, criticizing, proclaiming lies, slandering, etc., etc. Let's look at Psalm 45, 1 and 2. My heart overfloweth with a goodly matter. I speak the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. We sing a song like that. It's pretty neat. What is it that the tongue writes? Well, you know, some people, because they think they don't have any faith in their heart, they don't presume to speak the word of God or speak in agreement with the word of God. But the word of God can be written upon your heart because it comes out of your mouth. It comes out of your mouth and it goes into your heart. The tongue is the pen of a ready writer. We write the word of God on tablets, not of stone, but of flesh, right? In verse 2, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Now, obviously, grace is God's unmerited favor. And we want very much that he would put it in our lips in the way we speak so that we can reap a good harvest, sow a good seed and reap a good harvest, because whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. And Jesus was the sower, and he sowed the word. And the word came up and brought forth what? The fruit of Jesus, right? So grace is poured into the lips. Wise men, holy men, grace is poured into their lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that cool? I'm going to start in Psalm 50, and I'm going to go through 23. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do with declaring my statutes, and that thou hast taken my covenant in thy mouth? Well, you know, normally declaring the statutes and taking the covenant into our mouth is a good thing. But this is somebody who is just a hearer of the word and not a doer, trying to impress people that they're Christian when they're not. etc. These people will be rooted out from among the saints. It's just the facts. It's happening. Seeing that thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. They don't listen to the words of God. They don't have them on the tip of their tongue. And they hate instruction. And they're very competitive. The righteous love the word of God. They're humble. They want only the word of God to come out of their mouth. They want to be pleasing unto the Father. And they're justified by their very words because of this. And when thou sawest a thief, thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Well, you probably know some people like that. I know I do. And thieving is not a problem for them, and adultery is not a problem for them either. And verse 19, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. In other words, it keeps huddled the deception, right? In verse 20, thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Yep. There's a lot of slanders out there. I mean, all anybody has to do is watch the news, and you see that spirit there. Don't have to be founded in the truth anymore. Doesn't have to have witness. They can even say they don't know who the witness is, or they're not going to tell you who the witness is, but such and such and such and such, you know. But out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established, and they don't agree with that. And the wicked don't agree. Matthew 8:15, you go and you talk to your brother, you and him alone. They don't agree with that either. They never obey that. And so, 21, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and I will set them in order before thine eyes. Amen. Those people who are justified by their words. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth the sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifieth me. And him that ordereth his way aright will I show the salvation of God. So a people, there are a people who order their way aright. Yes, they may make mistakes, but they will get up and walk in agreement with God. They will be convicted, and they will do right and do good, and they will give sacrifice of thanksgiving to glorify God. They're worshipful people. They're full of worship and praise to God and thanks to God. They love to worship. And you see people that they can't do that. They don't want to do that. They feel ugly doing that. They won't confess God before men. And these people many times have rejection or something like that, you know, that they need to overcome. And but that's a sin. Rejection is a sin. Psalm 64. And let me see. I'm going to read from 2 through 8. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers. These are good prayers, okay? Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, for the tumult of the workers of iniquity, who have whet their tongue like a sword, and have aimed their arrows, even bitter words. You know, there's kindness, and there's righteousness, and there is forgiveness on the tongue of the righteous. And they walk by faith for people that they see are living under judgment. They walk by faith. They pray for them. They believe their words for them. And they're justified because they do that. Those who make themselves judges of everybody, there's no hope for that. And because with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you, Jesus said. And so we have to be careful what we say. It has to be in agreement with the Word of God. As I said before, it's not that you have to quote the Word of God. It's that you have to speak in agreement with the Word of God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? All right. Verse 4. That they may shoot in secret places at the perfect. You know, they don't. They're like cockroaches. They don't come out and face the person they're accusing. They do it behind their back. And they won't go, Matthew 18 and 15, to the person to get things straight. And find out if what they're saying is true. And if the person tells them the truth, they probably won't believe it. So, because it doesn't suit their agenda, right? Suddenly they just shoot at him and fear not. But they should fear, because even though they don't believe it, God is watching. Psalm 64 and 5, they encourage themselves in an evil purpose. They commune of laying snares privily. In other words, they talk of other people. They always like to gather as many as they can. They have an ambition many times to be leaders and to bring down the righteous. Notice, by the way, in the scriptures, there was always these people. Always these people. And they always came against the men of God. It's consistent all the way through. David, you know, is one that penned it best and most, you know, concerning all the people that came against him and hated him and slandered him and shot at him from darkness and so on and so forth. They say, who will see them? They act like God's not looking. And they don't have a conscience. If you say, hey, you know, what did God say? It doesn't sink in. Psalm 64 and 6, they search out iniquities. Let's see, I can get something on this person. Let me see, I want to work real hard at it. We have accomplished, say they, a diligent search, and the inward thought and the heart of everyone is deep. Yes, they judge people according to what they say they're thinking. Yes, and they think there's nothing wrong with that, you know. Oh, he believes this, and he says this, and on and on. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. Yes, he's patient. God is desiring that everyone come to repentance. He is patient with the wicked, and he hopes for good. So they shall be made to stumble, because he will suddenly shoot at them because they've shot at everybody else. Yeah. So they shall be made to stumble, their own tongue being against them. Why? Because Jesus spoke about those that judged out of their mouth other people constantly. And he said, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Get the board out of your own eye so you can see clear to get the mote out of your brother's eye, right? And all that see them shall wag the head. Yes, and you know, these people many times go through a life of people wagging the head at them. And they never learn their lesson. They go right back to it. And there's nothing but constant failure and constant death in their path. We have to be careful what we say. Proverbs 6 and 2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, And I would say, you know, if a person's that way, they're more likely to hear something from the Lord or to feel the restraint and the wisdom of the Lord. And but let me say that there are many people that cannot be pleased because they have their own agenda. They want to overthrow you and take your place. But the Lord says in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, there are six things which the Lord hateth, yea, seven which are an abomination unto him. Haughty eyes, that would be somebody who is proud. A lying tongue, obviously this is someone who is prepared for the lake of fire. And hands that shed innocent blood. In other words, their works are out to destroy others. And Proverbs 6 and 18, a heart that deviseth wicked purposes. This is one of the things God hates. People devising wicked purposes. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. Yes, they're quickly convinced that they need to do something against others instead of turn the other cheek, love your enemies, do good to them and spitefully use you, etc., etc. They're not going to obey Jesus. Forgive, pray, and believe. They're not going to do those things because they have an agenda. And it's always a selfish one. But the Lord says he'll suddenly shoot at them. Their feet are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that uttereth lies. He that soweth discord among brethren. God says he hates these things. A person who utters lies. They pervert everything to what they think is their advantage. But the thing is, God is watching. So it's not to their advantage. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. They do not want to see peace. They want to send division. They want you to judge. They want you to be critical and fall right in line with their antichrist spirits. Here's a wonderful text too in Proverbs 10. I'll say 19 through 22. In the multitude of words there wanteth not transgression. Think about that. You know, there are people that talk a lot. And the Lord says there's plenty of sin in what they say. Many times this is evil spirits that are doing this. There, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not transgression. But he that refraineth his lips doeth wisely. Yeah, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and very slow to wrath. And the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is little worth. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. It's people who rejoice in speaking good and right things and things that are acceptable to the Lord. They rejoice in it. Others rejoice in foolishness. They actually laugh at doing foolish things, saying foolish things, etc. Proverbs 10 and 21, the lips of the righteous feed many. The lips of the righteous feed many. Feed how? Because other people are partaking of your words. And they're either growing or they're being cursed by them. And so the righteous speak words that bring life. To whom else can we go, Lord? You have the words of life. They speak the words of life. They feed people, spiritually feed people. But the foolish die for lack of understanding. Yes, the foolish do die for lack of God's word, his understanding, his way to walk, his deliverance, his provisions, etc. You know, we need to agree for all of God's provision, everything, because there's a tribulation coming, whether you believe it or not, it's coming, and it's going to take many away. Many are going to fall in the wilderness because what they have spoken before God is going to cause them to fall just like it did the Israelites. And that was given to us in the end of the age, the Bible says. It was a type and a shadow for us. And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow therewith. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Of course, richness here is more than just physical richness. We are rich in the gold and the silver and the precious stones of the righteous life of Christ. This is where the most important riches are. And as we've already seen, you know, speaking true words is sown into the heart. It's a sowing which will also be reaped. Sow a good seed, reap a good harvest, right? And he addeth no sorrow therewith. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow therewith. Thank you, Father. Thank you for blessing us mightily, Lord, and providing us richly to do all that we need to do, and to be a blessing to everybody around us, and to grow up in Christ Jesus, and to forgive all of our neighbors, and et cetera, et cetera. Let's see. 10 and 30. Proverbs 10 and 30 through 32. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not dwell in the land. Now we've seen that. We've seen that because God has promised us a land, and it is a great blessing. But we've seen the wicked removed. We've never seen the righteous removed. It's interesting how that we're falsely accused of making people leave, which has never happened. You know, the wicked cannot stand to be around righteous people, even though they love them, provide for them, do whatever they can do for them. They will eventually fall out because it's God's purpose to separate them, because they are leaven. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. God doesn't want this for his bride. He's building a beautiful bride that is in agreement with his and made from his word, right? So, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not dwell in the land. God will see to it. Verse 31, the mouth of the righteous bringeth forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue shall be cut off. So, God will bring it to silence. In what way does God bring that perverse tongue to silence? Well, either through repentance or death in many cases. And verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. How do they know that? I'd like to know. How do they know what is acceptable? Well, they've looked in God's word. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh perverseness. Yes. And they're trained at doing that also. Proverbs 12, 18 and 19. There is that speaketh rashly like the piercings of a sword. Yes, very destructive people with their tongue. But the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. It's life, we've already read. It's life to them that hear it, right? And the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. It's quickly passing away. You know, friends, there's people that are going to die very shortly, as we've been shown. And these are some of the reasons that they're going to die and pass away. Because they're harmful to other people, destructive to other people. They turn people to judgment and destruction. And their tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise uttereth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out folly. Well, amen. It is so true. You know, you cannot give right doctrine to a person who is a fool. They cannot have it. It won't be given to them. As Jesus pretty well told his disciples when he spoke to the Pharisees and Sadducees in parables that they didn't understand. Of course, they judged him for his parables, but they didn't understand them. The righteous did, because the Lord took aside the righteous and revealed to them the meaning of the parable. Yeah. And I'm going to jump over to Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breaking of the spirit. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Remember, we studied the tree of life. How that it was a river of the water of life flowing out of the heart of the believer past the tongue, with the trees on this side and on that side partaking of the benefits. Meaning, of course, that we, when we speak, that innermost river of living water, it goes forth and it touches and delivers and heals people. There are many people out there that don't ever touch and heal people or bring them into the kingdom or anything like that, but they will criticize those that do. And that's because they're not who they think they are. But perverseness therein is a breaking of the spirit. Yes, amen. Proverbs 16:1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Notice that. There is an answer of the tongue. Because whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. It's of the Lord. Men make plans. They don't often include God in those plans. But what they speak is what they're going to receive. And down to verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. All right. It's sweet to speak good words. It brings sweetness to your soul and health to your bones. Many people are very sickly. The biggest reason, of course, is they don't forgive others. They instead criticize. They make themselves judges. And they live under the curse for doing this. Better to err on the side of faith for that person. If they're in willful disobedience, of course, we know that there's not much you can do for them, because the Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully After we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. And they live under that judgment. Their body's dying. Their mind is dying. They bring death to the things around them. The curse is in their hands, and things that they touch all turn to mush. And they wonder why. And, of course, health to your bones, that's where your life comes from, you know. That's where your blood is made, you know. And sin drieth up the bones. How about Proverbs 17 and 4? An evildoer giveth heed to wicked lips, and a liar giveth ear to a mischievous tongue. You see, you can't do anything for these people. You may run out there and say, hey, you shouldn't believe that. Why are you believing that? Look at the fruit. Look at this. Listen to what's said. It doesn't make any difference. An evildoer giveth heed to wicked lips. They're going to believe a lie no matter what. Because why? Well, because God said he would turn them over to believing a lie and being damned. And a liar giveth ear to a mischievous tongue. They're ready to listen to this stuff. They've got their own selfish ambition, so they listen. This is how God cleans out the church. He sends a false person in there to speak things, and it separates. But it's the people who follow them are their liars and their evildoers. It's like the Pied Piper. They've come there to snatch the wicked out of your midst. And Proverbs 17 and 20 says, he that hath a wayward heart findeth no good. When a person's going astray in their heart, in their desires, etc., etc., they're not going to find good. You may try to fix them, you may try to help them, but if you don't deal with the cause, you're not going to change things for them. And there are people who go through their whole life living under the curse. They can't do anything right. And there's constant failure before them. And you can't do anything for them because they're too proud to listen. They may have rejection where that they are too proud to receive anything from anybody. And they hate correction and so on and so forth. And the fool, of course, the Bible says, hates correction. What can be done for them? You'll try to fix them, but you'll run yourself ragged. And he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. When you speak astray, you're going to go astray. Remember, the tongue is the rudder of the ship. It will turn it right or left. That little tiny thing will turn about your whole life also. It'll rule your body, but it'll destroy you too. They are shipwrecked, so to speak. He that spareth his words hath knowledge, and he that is of a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Yep, you can't give anything to anybody that God will not let them receive. He will not give them grace to receive. It'll make you frustrated to try to change people's minds. But if God doesn't give it to them, he doesn't want them to have it. And you may try because you love them, you want the best for them, you want to do good for them, and you just get frustrated. And you end up stumbling around because you're trying to do something that God's not in agreement with. So He that spareth his words hath knowledge, and he that is of a cool spirit. You can't keep that cool spirit if you're trying to do something that God doesn't want done. You're trying to give grace to somebody that he won't give grace to. It's frustrating. Best that you back off and pray, right? He that is of a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a whisperer are as dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts. Yes. They bring destruction in people's lives. People like to whisper or hear something. They may be competitive, you know, towards others. They may be looking for a position. They may be wanting to find favor with a person or a man. All of the ulterior motives that bring people to destruction. The words of a whisperer are dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost being. Then what happens? Well, out of your innermost being flows rivers of living filth. You know, instead of living waters, right? So, Proverbs 21:23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Yes. As we've already noticed, be careful what you say in front of the wicked. That can give you a lot of trouble. Pearls before swine get you rended. And so keep your mouth, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and keep your soul from troubles. So your soul is, of course, your mind, will, and emotions. Don't sit around people who want to constantly speak against others. It will destroy you. It destroys anybody that does that. And because they don't have the Word of God in their heart, they don't know any better. And 22:12 says, "The eyes of the Lord preserve him that hath knowledge, but he overthroweth the words of the treacherous man." Well, Father, it's a good thing that treacherous people bring destruction to themselves, but they can't always bring destruction to other people, especially those that preserve knowledge. And as your word says, the eyes of the Lord preserve him that hath knowledge. If a person loves knowledge, love pleasing the Lord, love truth, he will be protected from these people. And you know, there are people that make mistakes. They're generally honest because they don't keep them very long. They, you know, repent, change their mind, change their path, talk to God. God forgives them, puts them back on the right path, and they're off again, you know. But the wicked love to make themselves bigger at somebody else's expense. And so they are quick to criticize, not encourage, not give words of wisdom that are helpful. And we don't want to have anything to do with that, do we? Let us overcome such evil. Proverbs 25:23. "The north wind bringeth forth rain, so doth a backbiting tongue an angry countenance." Yeah. The person that has a backbiting tongue hates. They have hatred for the person that they wound, as the Bible says. Proverbs 26:22. "The words of a whisperer as dainty morsels." I think I shared this already with you. "They go down into the innermost parts." Yes, if you want to sit and listen to gossipers, to people who are critical of others, they will go into your innermost being. You want to guard your heart at all cost from leaven that goes into your heart and ruins you and destroys you and keeps you from having God's best. And Proverbs 26 and 28 says, a lying tongue hateth those, this is the verse I was talking about, hateth those whom it hath wounded. And, you know, it's them that did it, but they hate this person. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Friends, seek kindness, seek love, seek forgiveness, seek faith for all men. Just think, that person that you may be looking at and judging, you want them to make it, right? They only have one shot, right, at this thing. You want them to make it. You want to do what will help them to make it. Yes, they may have offended you and they may have done evil, but you see, this hell is for eternity. This is a great cost. Have mercy, right? A lying tongue hateth those that it hath wounded, and flattering mouth worketh ruin. Yes, they're pretty good at buttering you up. I mean, they can talk real kind and act like they're holy, and watch out. Watch out. Ecclesiastes 5 and 2 says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Yes, God is listening. God is holy. God is righteous. God loves. God provided salvation through Jesus Christ. Of course, you can criticize, or you can bring salvation to this person through your words, righteousness to them, correction to them because of your kind words. And a soft answer turns away wrath. But people who are rash with their mouth and quick to judge are quickly judged. So don't say anything before God, because he's looking down, and let me say that none of us is that much taller than the next guy from God's perspective. Right? So have mercy if you want mercy. If you want mercy, sow it and you'll reap it, right? If you want forgiveness, sow it and you'll reap it, right? True. God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. And Ecclesiastes 10 and 12 says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, meaning they give grace. But the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Yes. Because your life and your death proceeds out of your mouth, as we read earlier. The lips of a fool will swallow up himself. It'll bring him to destruction. Ecclesiastes 12 and 10 says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written uprightly, even words of truth. Yes, Solomon sought out wise words. He enjoyed wise words. He sought them out because he knew there was life in them. And what about the bride? You know, what is it about the bride that makes her so beautiful to the Lord? Well, Song of Solomon 4:11 says, thy lips, O my bride, drop as the honeycomb. honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Honey and milk is under thy tongue. Remember that the man-child who was born in Isaiah chapter 7 drank milk and honey. And that's how he bore such fruit. They're the perfect foods, people say. And germs can't live in honey, etc., etc. It represents right understanding, truth, right nature, love, those things that bring grace to us, right? Acceptable words. If we speak acceptable words, we will be a blessing to everybody around us. The bride is that way. She's very humble and very much given grace by the things that she speaks, and God loves that. God is a God of wisdom. Jesus is the wisdom of God, the Bible says, right? Isaiah 3 and 8, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. Well, now this represents the leadership of God's people, Jerusalem, Judah. And there's been times in history where Jerusalem was very backward and brought destruction to the people of God, captivity, etc. Been other times when Jerusalem was righteous and holy, and God preserved them from the beast and conquered the beast instead of the other way around. And those two parables are constantly happening. Isaiah 5 and 24 says, therefore, as the tongue of fire devoureth the stubble, and as the dry grass sinketh down in the flame, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Well, they're going to reap a bad harvest, and their tongue will burn them up. The wood, hay, and stubble of their life that doesn't even compare to that of the righteous gold and silver and precious stones is just ready for the fire. They have a wicked life, and it deserves judgment, and there's nothing you can do because it's coming right out of their mouth. The tongue of fire. Remember what James said about the tongue of fire. Brings much destruction. Sets on fire the cycle of life, which is sowing and reaping, right? It brings rottenness. And the blossom will be as the dust. Because they're rejecting the law of the Lord. It's not something that pleases them. And Proverbs 8 and 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, surely there is no mourning for them. Mourning is, of course, a new day, a time of blessing, sunshine, so on. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, surely there is no mourning for them. Speaking according to the word, letting the words of life come out of your mouth. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. that spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. Is it really living water? Isaiah 28:11 through 15, I see. Nay, but by men of strange lips, and with another tongue, will he speak to his people, or to this people. Yes, the Lord speaks in a strange tongue through God's people, so that their mind does not get mixed up in the prayer, and they don't correct it or change it according to their selfish ambitions, and so there's no reason to change it because they don't understand what they're saying, so the Holy Spirit's able to pray through them. And because we're all ignorant of things, it's a great thing to use your tongue to pray in the Holy Spirit. And because God can pray for you for the things you don't know you need. Sometimes it might be pride that you're not able to receive from people around you, but God can pray through you. Verse 10 says, "For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line." See, we don't learn an awful lot in a hurry. It's precept upon precept. We receive more and more knowledge as we desire it. We ask it of God. We want to be acceptable to God. We want our words to be acceptable to God. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. And of course, the humble soul will continue to grow in knowledge and in the words of the Lord, and the wicked will not understand. And it won't be important to them. Isaiah 28:11 says, "Nay, but by men of strange lips, and with another tongue, will he speak to this people." That's right. And then, to whom he said, "This is the rest. Give ye rest to him that is weary. This is the refreshing." Yet they would not hear. Now, the rest is, we've discovered, according to Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, is resting from your own works. It's entering into God's works, it says there. And it says, "He that believeth rests from his own works," as God did. And when you believe, you enter into God's rest. That is ceasing from your works to do God's works. God blesses that. He speaks to his people. He speaks to his people. Tongues is a way for God to speak to his people. It can speak to you, or the companion gift of interpretation. He speaks to others with tongues and interpretation. But he speaks. That's what the Bible says. We should believe the Bible. We shouldn't add to it or take from it, as we learned, because this is a method by which the Holy Spirit can bless you mightily, can meet your needs, can change things in your life. You can pray about problems that you don't know what to do about. But when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying. You can ask the Holy Spirit, by the way, to pray for certain things and then go into tongues. You may not understand it, but it doesn't matter. He knows the will of the Father. This is the refreshing, he says. But they would not hear. Well, they didn't hear. The great theologians in the time of the book of Acts, they didn't hear. They didn't listen. They saw a miracle in front of them, but they didn't listen, didn't hear. But others did, and they always will. There's always going to be a remnant of people that are tuned into God. They want more of him. They're not protecting their pocketbook, their ego, whatever. And these humble people will receive from God. And he says again, Verse 13, therefore shall the word of the Lord be unto them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So, you know, there's a cumulative curse in some people's mouth. And they have to learn it just like the righteous learn the good things, they learn the bad things. And they will stumble, they will fall, they will be snared, they will be taken. And Isaiah 28 and 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scoffers that rule this people that is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol are we at agreement. Remember, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Many people are in agreement with false doctrines, false people, false religion, false principles, the fact that they're already manifested salvation and they don't need anything. You know, their doctrines can destroy them too. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. Did you know that multitudes of once saved, always saved people are going to take the mark of the beast? We've received that from the Lord quite a few times. Have dreams and visions about it on our site. Because they don't believe they can be lost. And he said, they made a covenant with death, and with Sheol are we at agreement. But when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, they say. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Yes, the flood will overflow the refuge, the Lord said. And this is how people will learn better, hopefully, before they die, that God has called us in holiness, in righteousness, in purity. And this is where we enter the kingdom, not as some people think, filthy as they are, they're going to fly away and go to heaven. Well, then heaven wouldn't be heaven, would it? Isaiah 32 and 4 says, and the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. Oh, praise God. The heart of the rash shall understand knowledge. Oh, Lord, that's what we pray today. We pray that you would deliver our poor, ignorant hearts, oh, Lord, to walk after you, to not be deceived by this world. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon your people. Set your captives free, Lord God. Thank you so much, Lord. Isaiah 50 and 4, the Lord hath given me the tongue of them that are taught. Of course, where can we be taught except God's word? The Holy Spirit speaks true words. Jesus speaks true words. Everyone who is sent by him speaks true words. He's given me the tongue of them that are taught. Do you take time teaching your tongue what is acceptable to the Lord? That I may know how to sustain with words him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as they that are taught. Amen. Morning by morning. The Lord knows them that are his. He opens our ears to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, he said. They won't follow another. But we saw that an evil heart will follow another. Always. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness which is of me, says the Lord. Wow. How cool. Every tongue that rises up against the righteous person who is justified by faith and walking with the Lord, will be condemned. Many people are quick to condemn. But if we love people, we want people to make it, just as we want to make it. It's the golden rule, right? And also, I would say 55:11, Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Well, what about the word of the Lord that goes forth out of the body of Christ? The people of God. Yes, it will accomplish what it's sent forth to do. It shall prosper that person in the thing whereto God sent it. It will bring to pass what is necessary. Then said the Lord unto me, this is Jeremiah 1:12, thou hast well seen, for I watch over my word to perform it. Does it matter where God's word comes from, or through whom it's spoken, or whatever? No, he just watches over his word to perform it. He's going to bring it to pass. So what do we need coming out of our mouth if we're going to have the blessing and the provision of God? You know, we need to have his word. Okay, look at Jeremiah 9:3-9. And they bend their tongue, as it were their bow, for falsehood. And they are grown strong in the land, but not for truth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, says the Lord. Okay. People practice deception. They think it's going to prosper them. But as we saw, God is looking. So it's not going to happen. And it's that tongue is for a moment, the Bible says. Verse 4, take ye heed, every one, to his neighbor. And trust ye not in a brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will go about with slanderers. Boy, I've never seen a day like this. I bet none of you have either. That there's so much of that out there. And don't sit and listen to it. Don't sit and listen to it. Don't let it go into your heart. You see, here's what happens. People speak evil things. And then the demons put that question in there. Well, I wonder if that's true. I wonder if he did that, you know, or what's on. Well, if it's not sent from a good person and for a good purpose, you don't want to listen to it anyway, because we know what the fruit of these people are. They can't speak good. So, many people are going around with slanders now. You can't watch the news without seeing that. And you ask them, well, why do you believe that? Then they can't even tell you. It's just according to their agenda. And you try to reason with them, and you get nowhere. They give you that dumb look, you know. Like, they're righteous, they're smart, they know, and you don't. Father, we ask you to deliver us from evil words, from evil people. Jeremiah 9:5, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Yes, they can't even sleep, the Bible says, until they do some evil. And when they're on their bed, they're constantly plotting and scheming. And they can't have peace. They can't have rest. They can't go to sleep even till they've committed or planned some evil thing. And Jeremiah 9:6 says, thy habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Lord. Yes, we are rejecting God when we plot to deceive people. We are rejecting God. Verse 7, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how else should I do because of the daughter of my people? You know, the Lord talks about breaking the vessel down and starting over. Remaking it. You know, there are people that fellowship with you and me who are determined to endure to the end and see the fruit of Jesus. They're careful with their lives, careful what they hear, careful what they speak. And then there are those that, you know, are not worried about it because they've already got their shoe in the door, they think. They've already accomplished it. They're very proud of what they know and what they can do and all these things, you know. But God gives grace to the humble, and the proud he resists, right? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth wait for him. So they're laying a trap, right, for their neighbor. But the Bible says those people that lay a snare fall into it themselves. How many times God said that in the Word? Over and over. See, he makes sure of that. And then Jeremiah 9:9 says, shall I not visit them for these things? See, they're laying up these things for a day of judgment, Paul said. Shall I not visit them for these things? There is a visitation coming very quickly. We keep reading about it in Scripture. We keep receiving the word about it. It's going to bring judgment upon the wicked. Shall I not visit them for these things, says the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Yes, the word of God is going to burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble. It is God's word that will judge each and every one of us, both while we're in this life and after this life. It's God's word that will do that. And Jeremiah 23:36 says, "The burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's own word shall be his burden." Think about that. Every man's own word shall be his burden. In other words, what you sow, you reap. It's going to go out. It's going to come around. It's going to bring destruction. Every man's own word shall be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts of our God. So we have to be careful. You know what? I learned a long time ago that when you read the Word of God, it's very good to slow down and really think on it. Make sure you're really getting what that says there. You're not just quoting it for the rest of your life to mean something you want it to mean, but you learn early what it really means. It takes time to devote to the Word of God to do these things, but we must do it. What is more important than that we sow into our heart the pure seed of the Word of God? It will take out the evil. It will deliver us from the evil. It will sanctify us. And Hosea 7:16 says, "They return, but not to him that is on high. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt." A deceitful bow. Can't shoot straight. And God promises that their leaders shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. God is a God of justice. He loves justice. He also loves patience. He's patient with people. Some think that because they have not been judged immediately that God didn't see them. Not so. Not possible. Zephaniah 3:13 says, "The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity." The remnant, which means those who have survived, right? There was a remnant of Israel in the wilderness that went into the promised land, but it was a small group of people that survived, went through the test, and came out the other side. The remnant of Israel will not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. They're not going to speak lies. Now, a lie is a purposeful untruth, right? The Bible says there was no lie found in the 144,000's mouth. That's different, because there are things that we might say that we may not know are untruths. But when the Lord said there was no lie found in their mouth, that means that they're only speaking the truth. "They shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid." Zephaniah 3:13. Hallelujah. How about Luke 8:11? "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that have heard, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved." So that's a large group of people there. They've heard the word, but they didn't do anything with it while they had it, and they lost it. the devil comes and steals the word, and they're not saved. And they can do the same thing the very next time, too. It's very possible. And Luke 8 and 13, and those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. But they don't have any root. Who for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. They're tempted, they're drawn away by their own lust and enticed. They received it with joy, they were very happy about it. We see that quite often. But a person doesn't give root to keep it alive, you know. In verse, I'm going to go down to verse 15. And that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. An honest and good heart. They hear it and they hold on to it. Salvation is important to them. They have a fear of the Lord. They want to follow God. Do they make mistakes? Yes, they do. And when they cry out to the Lord, He forgives. And of course, there are some that won't forgive, no matter what that person's done. They won't forgive. And of course, God doesn't forgive them, as Jesus said. And also, John 8:31, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. There's a condition there. If you abide in me, Jesus said, you bear much fruit. He is the word. A person that abides in him, the Bible says, let him walk as he walked. So many people don't believe the Word of God that we have an ability to walk as Jesus walked or live and do what those early disciples did, right? They don't believe it. So you can't convince them because they would be convicted if you would convince them. They'd be convicted that they're not living where they need to live and they really like living where they want to live, right? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. John 14 and 24 says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And by the way, the Father sends many. And we hear, sometimes we have disrespect for the vessel, right? And because God can send even a child, or He can send a donkey, or He can send, and so because we don't have respect towards the vessel, we don't receive the word. And this is a dangerous thing, because He just sends humble people. But when we receive the words from one of His least, we're receiving it from Him, the Lord says. And whatsoever we've done to the least of these, my brethren, Jesus said, you've done it unto me. So it doesn't matter whether you respect the vessel or not, you need to be listening for the word of the Lord. And John 15 and 3 says, already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. And another place Jesus said, you're all clean but one. And we knew that was Judas, of course. He knows those that are not clean and those that are not going to make it, actually, but they still have opportunity. But he knew that those that received his word would be clean. And we too need to spend time in the word more than anything else, including listening to others. I mean, you may be listening to somebody that is giving you nothing but the word, and that's good, very good. We encourage that. But also, you can go home and meditate on God's word yourself and receive a mighty blessing every time you do it. Of course, pray every time you do it. Acts 20 and 32 says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Okay, so the word of his grace is able to build you up. Grace builds up. The words that are words of grace build up. The wicked are constantly trying to tear down. "And to give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified." So the word of his grace will build you up and give you that inheritance among the sanctified people. Don't we all want that? Well, I have to say no. But there is a remnant that wants that. They want it more than they want other things. They're ready to sacrifice their old flesh to get it, right? And Romans 15 and 18 says this, "For I will not dare to speak of anything save those which Christ wrought through me. For the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed." You know, the Pharisees said Jesus spoke as one with authority. Well, what did they speak? It was the dead letter. It was the doctrines of Judaism. The dead letter. But if God hadn't wrought it through you, you can't teach it to others because you can't give what you don't have. And it is for the obedience of the lost. In this case, it's translated Gentiles, sometimes nations. For the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. Well, thank you, Lord. That's what we want. Lord, please work through us for the obedience of people around us. Let us give fruit to those around us. Let us not bring destruction to people's lives, Lord. Help us to be truthful, to love truth, and to love the fear of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14 and 21 says, "In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues, and by the lips of strangers will I speak unto this people. And not even thus will they hear me, saith the Lord." So we saw that in Isaiah, and now we're seeing it in 1 Corinthians 14. And they wouldn't hear, and they wouldn't listen. How many people today will not listen to tongues? Even though we've got two witnesses here, they won't listen to tongues. They don't believe in tongues, but the Word speaks it. So where are they getting their doctrine? From somebody that's not getting it from the Word. We have to repent. We have to go home and believe the Word of God. Remember, we're warned in the last four verses of the book not to add to or take from the book. And yet, all religion does this. They're picking bits and pieces and making their doctrines. And if they don't have it, they can't preach it. Because they'd be preaching against themselves, right? So you have to get it for yourself. Philippians 2:11 says, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue should confess or speak the same as that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord of what? He's Lord of everything you can imagine. He's Lord of every problem you've got. He is Lord of the wicked, the vessels of dishonor. He is the Lord of the righteous. He is over all, the Bible says. And we should speak in agreement with him. And Philippians 2 and 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may have whereof to glory in the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Are there people that run and labor in vain? Yes, they do, because they're not going to make it. They're not doers of the word, but hearers only. They don't have the fear of the Lord. The thing that we must do is reprogram our hard drive. And holding forth the word of life so that in the day of Christ we can glory. We will have that glory about us that's formed by the word of God. We won't run in vain and labor in vain. And James 1:21 says, wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be humble to the word. Read the word with the fear of the Lord. And the implanted word here is inborn word. It's the same word. Can we put away filthiness and overflowing of wickedness? Well, obviously he said that. He can't give us a command that we cannot obey. This is foolishness taught by foolish people. We receive with meekness that word, which is able to save your soul. Who is this written to? God's people. Remember, your soul is saved through your obedience to the truth. We'll share that with you in just a minute. And James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. Many people are deluded. They've got crazy doctrines, crazy opinions of themselves that nobody else holds. They give themselves great names, great titles. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. And of course, there's no faith there because they're not beholding Christ in the mirror. Right? We know that we have to see the end from the beginning. We know that we have to call things to be not as though they were. We know these things. This is how faith works. James 1 and 26 says, if any man thinketh himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is in vain. Well, there's the vanity of it right there. We must bridle this tongue. We have to be careful. It will deceive us. Lying spirits will deceive us and take us out, as we've seen. James 3 and 2, for many things, in many things, we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. So we've come complete circle here. If you don't stumble in your words, you don't make mistakes in your words, you're able to bridle the whole body. So many people were looking for the secret to power from God over their flesh, right? So, the secret is, let the Word of God be in your heart and in your mouth. Because the same person is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. In other words, it will control sin and the sin nature. James 3 and 5, so the tongue also is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. Yes, we have seen it. It burns people's lives up, speaking things that they shouldn't. And James 3 and 6, and the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body. So by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. It defiles our bodies to speak contrary to God's word. That's a promise from God. And setteth on fire the wheel of nature, or as I said, cycle of life, and is set on fire by hell. If you're not controlling your tongue, somebody else will. By that I mean the demons from hell. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that you have purified your souls, here it is, I was speaking about a while ago, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. Of course, some people would say, well, you're preaching salvation by works. No, I'm saying exactly what the Word of God says, and you'd do best to do that too. Seeing, what is this? This is a word of faith. We're believing something. We're accepting something. Seeing that you have purified your souls. Well, when you look in the mirror and see Jesus, what are you seeing? You're seeing that you purified your soul. In your obedience to the truth. See, some people can't handle truth. They only hear the natural things that their preachers say, and not the spiritual things, not the things of faith, which calls the things that be not as though they were. It's the secret of the power-filled life. So we purify our souls through obeying the truth. We love one another from the heart fervently. That's the fruit of it. In verse 23, having been born again, or begotten again, same word, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So the incorruptible seed is what? The Word of God, he says, which liveth and abideth. We're born again through the Word of God. And in this case, he's talking about being born again in your soul. Not in your spirit, but in your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions. All this God wants to change. He does not accept the old man. He wants the renewed, born from above seed of God speaking and acting through your soul. And 1 Peter 1 and 24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth. Anybody that's gotten old knows about this? Me, I'm not planning on getting old, so just forget it. But anyway, it's a lesson. We have a time to gain wisdom. By the time we get white hair, spiritually speaking, not physically. Some people are prematurely white and they're very foolish, but by that time we should be gaining knowledge that keeps us from falling away. But the old man, he just keeps going downhill. But the spiritual man keeps gaining ground. And verse 25 says, "But the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word of good tidings which we preach unto you." Good tidings meaning the gospel. The gospel is very big if you watch this good tidings phrase. It's very big. It's the good news that the Lord has given us of what He's done for us and what He's provided for us, right? One more, Revelation 12:11, "And they overcome Him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death." The blood of the Lamb. Our faith is in the blood of the Lamb. He took away our sins, past, present, and future. He took them away. He nailed them on that cross. He made reconciliation and exchanged His life for ours. And because of the word of their testimony, they overcame the devil and his angels. Because of the word of their testimony, or the word of their witness. Your word is always witnessing. You're always saying something out of your mouth. What God is saying is, be careful. Be careful. Say what I say. Confess means speak the same as. They love not their life even unto death. In other words, they know the cross is a death to the old man. They desire it. They hug it. They love it. And they're willing to pay the price. Father, we thank You and we love You. We ask You, Lord, to give us grace today. Give us humility. Help us, Lord. We want to fail less and less as we put our faith in You. We ask, Lord, that we might be encouraging to one another and forgiving of one another. You said if we don't forgive, we're not forgiven. And so we thank You, Father, for Your great mercy towards us. And we love You and thank You. Well, amen, saints. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name.